Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever heard of the statement, nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof? That's about the way I feel right now. But to see and to look out and to look at your smiling faces does my heart good to know that you have not necessarily come for my welcome, nor for my pleasure, but you have come for the sake of doing the things that please the Lord. I do know and I realize that you have searched for a regular, normal preacher. I've seen that and witnessed that all over your live stream, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here to speak to you. But please know that it's temporary, because next week you're going to get another preacher. That's going to be a gospel meeting that begins with Brother Tim Jennings. But before I begin the lesson, I must tell you how much my sweetie and I, and that is definitely the case, as Tim mentioned a while ago, that's my reference to my wife. You may call her Diane, I'll call her sweetie. But we are very grateful for the opportunity to come and to work with you here at Veterans Parkway. There was a moment of which, in meeting with the elders, Mark Job asked me, what is it that you can do for me? And I returned to him the question, and that is, it's not what you can do for me, it's what I need to be where I can do for you. And that's what Diane and I want to do. We want to do everything we can for you and for your sake, for the glory of the Lord. And I appreciate all the songs and the scripture reading and the exhortations that we received already in prayer, all the things that you do already. And the name of where this church is goes far and wide. And it has really built up within my heart the opportunity to do all we can while we're here. Your cards that you sent to us, the prayers that you've offered to us, even whether it's publicly or privately, or even from what I gathered in a small children's class back there for us. And we prayed for you too. We prayed for wisdom for the elders. We prayed for understanding for them, and understanding for us too. All that goes together. And there's a lot to be said for realizing the spiritual mindset that you present is a valuable thing. And this is a joyous moment. It's a joyous fellowship that we have together to come to praise God, to honor Him, to remember His Son Jesus, to know the victory over death, and the victory that we'll have over death as well. I appreciate so much your marriages and your children. And please know, I will give you fair warning that your children will be our children. Your children will become our children. And I refer to them as our children a lot. Some of them we've known for a long while already. Some of them are sitting out here. And some of them are older back there, a little bit further back, that are already either married, in college, and found themselves somebody they want to be with the rest of their life. I could go on and on, but I tell you what, it's our heart is so filled with overflowing to joy. And we want to do everything we can scripturally and lovingly, and also find ourselves faithfully serving you while we're here. This morning, I want to ask you a question, and I hope I get all this put together right. I want you to think about with me this morning the thought of what it is like to be a part of the church at Veterans Parkway. That picture you see, I grabbed a hold of, and I pasted it up there. It's a long time ago, I guess. I don't know, it might have been a year ago. I'm not too sure when it came about. But the question I want to raise to you this morning is, when you think about what Jesus asked or stated in the book of Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, how is it that I'm going to be a part of that building? How am I going to do that? How's my sweet wife going to do that? And how are you going to be a part of that building? And all through Scripture we see all this. And I'm not talking about building a physical structure. I'm not talking about we're going to build the walls or we're going to add to and all those kind of things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about listening to what He says about building. And you don't ever see Jesus state in this passage, I'm going to build my Christian school. I'm going to build my small group ministry. I'm going to build a social ministry. He doesn't give that information. He doesn't make that promise. He says, I will build my church. Now, all these other people that you may hear about, all the things that they will do religiously, they will say, I will build, or we will build, or we will do this, or we will do that. That comes out of their own mindset, of what they believe, the concept of what God wants. But the promise that Jesus makes here in Matthew chapter 16, 18, I will build my church, is a very significant thing. First of all, it comes from Psalm 127, verse 1, in the concept of where he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. That's not talking about the church. That's talking about that family. And then he begins to talk about it more so from verse 2 all the way to the end of the chapter. Little children are a heritage of Jehovah. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Therefore, the wonderful aspect of the church comes from the understanding that it comes out of your family. You start and you keep the church being built. Do not ever dismiss the idea that no one will notice what you do. One marriage, one family has a tendency to destroy everything. One marriage, one family has a tendency to build greatly for the significance of the body of Christ. Don't ever dismiss that, please. Therefore, Psalm 127 verse 1 is very significant. But then when you look at the scriptures a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 4, you will notice the context of where he mentions in verse 11 to verse 16, there's these places where people are. There are these significant positions where people are. As he states in this passage, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then he said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. And then there's this very significant word, all, in verse 13. Till we all attain. Doesn't say till the elders attain, till the deacons attain, till the preachers, the teachers, till this woman or this man attains, till we all attain to the unity of the faith. There's a lot of people that discuss the idea of unity, and that's just going all over the religious arena to discuss, okay, we need to be more united, we need to be more united because of this, because of that. All these influxes of worldly devices and satanic and demonic forces placed upon us individually and collectively. We need to do something where we will unite and overcome this. What about just building up the body? As he mentions verse 13, be like Jesus. And then in verse 15, speak truth in love and grow up in all things. In verse 16, whom all the body fitly framed it together, that which every joint supplies. Everybody does something. Everybody is included in this. Everybody's participating. No one's excluded. No one just stands on the outside and isolates himself and says, this is where I go to church. I go to church at Veterans Parkway. This is where we all have a particular place. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to verse 11, has some very clear moments to understand where he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but God gave the increase. Now he that planted and he that waters are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers, we are God's husbandry, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another builded thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for another foundation can no man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We lay on top of what Jesus already placed as the chief cornerstone, and we go from there. One piece at a time, one person at a time. We are definitely people that are building. Ephesians chapter 2 says it in a little bit different way, but the same conclusion is found in verse 19 and 20 where he says, so then you're no more strangers and sojourners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. Everybody's participating in this, from the right side of the building to the left side of the building to the back of the building to the front of the building. Everybody's participating in this. And I don't think I'm really giving you any new revelation. I do believe, though, there's a means by which you need a continuing exhortation. And all of us need to be reminded, including myself. Peter said it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to verse 16. We all need to be reminded. Stir you up by remembrance. That being said, there has been a lot of anticipation upon the beginning of this new chapter for us, for you. But I believe there is something to be said for coming to the realization that it's not about me. It is not. And it's not about you. It's about what you and I, in fellowship with each other, will do to build the church of which Jesus says, I will build. That's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do. One of the things I think is very interesting in this is, do we know what it costs to do this? According to the book of Acts chapter 20, there is an exhortation given to the elders there of Ephesus and Miletus when Paul got them together and gave them this understanding about what their responsibilities were as the bishops and the overseers of the flock of God, which was purchased with the blood of Jesus. So therefore, the cost of this is extreme. The cost of this is superior. The cost of this is excellent. There's no cost greater than this one. But then when you turn to the book of Luke chapter 14, this same Jesus who said he will build his church, in verse 27, verse 30, talked about the cost of you and the cost of me. He says, beginning in chapter 14, verse 27, whosoever does not bear his own cross and does not come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has wherewith to complete it? Lest happily, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, everyone beholds him and begins to mock him. And says, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Wonder what that would be like for you. If you started building a house, you had this lot, everything planned out, designed your house. You got the builder out there, and he started digging up the ground, and he laid the blocks, started putting the floor down, and got the walls up, got it framed up, and then y'all said, oh, we got to stop. We got to stop right here. I don't think we're going to have the money to finish this. And everybody around in the neighborhood's looking to see when this house is going to be completed and looking and anticipating who's going to be in this house. Who's going to be our neighbors? What kind of people would they be? We have had, in this world, too many people and enough of people who have mocked, ridiculed, criticized, demeaned, persecuted, all the other adjectives you want to use to really put down the church for all its practices, for what it believes, where it goes, and what they think, they say they think. And we don't need any more of those kind of things. As Paul was talking to the elders, especially from within, from all those wolves. We don't need it coming from within. So he says to the elders in verse 32, I want to commend you to the word of grace, which is able to build you up. Build you up. Take the word and build you up first, and then let that same word build up the rest of the people. Build up this church into the oneness, into the unity that so many people talk about. It cost us. It cost Jesus. But what are those components, though? What are those real significant components to the oneness church? I do know and realize Proverbs chapter 24 is not a biblical text that you would use to refer to building the church. But there are three components here that where he talks about building a house might just be valuable for us to realize and understand. The first one is, he says in verse 4, by knowledge. You and I, those of us that are tech savvy, know our computers and laptops and phones very well, we have the opportunity to, by the click of a mouse and by the swipe of a finger, gain all kinds of information from sources all over the world. It's the worldwide internet, as they say. Now you can gain all kinds of information about any subject, any topic you want. Therefore, we are not people who can say, I don't know. When it's all out there for you to know. But the thing about it is, what you do with your knowledge is the most significant thing. It's the application of it. It's the challenge. Therefore, let's just talk about this just a minute. Let's say we're all dismissed in just a few minutes, and then we walk out the building. How much will we grab and absorb from all we discussed this morning about building? How much will we obtain? That it will be valuable to us and be used. Because when we leave here, we're going to close our psalm books, or we're going to close our Bibles, and we're going to grab up all of the materials that we brought with us, that our children have, all these papers and everything that we got, and we're going to walk out the door, and we greeted a lot of people, and then we're going to get past 12 o'clock or 12:30, we're finished lunch, and then we're going to get on with our Sunday afternoon schedule. And then how much of it will we have absorbed? Will we have spent maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 minutes absorbing the things that we talked about and we discussed about building and my involvement in that? It's not just, okay, the preacher preached a great lesson. It's a wonderful subject. He really talked about things that we need to know. Yet is it really going to be something I'm going to absorb? It's the application of the knowledge is the most significant thing. Therefore, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, do we know the things that are stated in verse 12 to verse 27? And we're not going to read all this text, but there's a lot to be said for the knowledge of there being something that is repeated in verse 12 and in verse 27. It's the same thing. For as the body is one member, one and as many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. In verse 27, now you're the body of Christ and several members thereof. So he starts it and ends it in that little context in the same fashion. And in the middle of all that, then he talks about the hand and the foot. And then he talks about all those people that sometimes don't think that since they're not one and they're would rather be the other, then therefore they're not significant. And then you see his verse 18 come up and says, now God has been the one that set the members, each one of them, the body, even as it pleased him. God did this. Knowledge of this text is what brings conviction to my heart of the fellowship and the mutual dependence that we have upon each other. And it excludes the isolation and it excludes the promotion, the self-promotion. There's nothing in here that says there's not a piece that we don't need. And there's nothing in here that says this piece is more important than the other. I believe there's something to be said for the knowledge, not only this, but it's also this that brings an accountability to me. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through verse 27 brings an accountability to me of all the things that God is asking of me to do and to be in this body. And the accountability of this, it tears down all those fences, it tears down all those barriers, all those ungodly emotions that sometimes we've so built up that sometimes hinder us from being the body that we need to be and building up the church into its oneness. Rather than being so wrapped up in all the difficult emotions and feelings that I've got about certain things and certain circumstances and certain dilemmas and challenges, and being all upset, and being all distraught, and being all fearful and all anxious, come to the realization that some of those anxious and difficult emotions of which you're feeling can be resolved by just seeing the accountability of what God gives you right here. So therefore, what do you know about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, verse 27, and then what do you know about each other's piece? What do you know about the ear? What do you know about the hand? What do you know about the foot? What do you know about all these pieces? Do you know enough that you will respond like verse 26 says? Well, verse 25 says that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And one member's honor, all the members rejoice with it. I mean, do we know each other and the pieces to build up the body? And then there comes another part of this. It's a matter of understanding. In the book of Romans chapter 12, there's a statement that is made in verse 3. After he's talked about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he says, through the grace that was given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to sort of think soberly, according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members are not in the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ and several members one of another, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given. In other words, let's say you know 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to verse 27, and you realize that there are certain places everybody needs to be. The understanding is, in this idea of building up the oneness church, is to be a person who understands the differences that are in the body. Not everybody is the eye, not everybody is the hand, not everybody is the foot. And understanding those differences makes a great big difference in how, if, when the church will be built. God gives the grace to do this. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7 speaks to husbands and says, husbands, dwell with your wife in an understanding way. That's the New American Standard Version. Dwell with your wives in an understanding way. And there are wives who cannot really pick up on why it is that their husband does not understand. And there are husbands who really can't sometimes pick up on why it is he doesn't understand. But let me just take it one step further. Do you know that there's members of the church who know all these responsibilities, but they don't understand what their place is in the church either, to build up the body? They don't understand each other. They don't understand the function. But let's just understand something. Let's just understand a little bit about the differences. I'm looking at all these people here, and I'm seeing older, and I'm seeing younger, and I'm seeing people who are male, and I'm seeing people who are female, and I'm seeing people who are single, I'm seeing people who are married, I'm seeing people who are widowed, I'm seeing all these people that are out here, and then there's this point by which we're seeing all these differences, but at the same time, do we know, and seeing all those differences, do we understand that that difference is not a damaging thing? It's not a critical thing. It's not one of these things that's, oh, whoa, we got too many single people. Whoa, we got too many married. Whoa, we got too many young people. It's not one of these things that you look at and say, oh, we got too many of and we don't have enough of. It's understanding what you do have. Understanding what you do have. And all these particular pieces that are there that function to the growth of the body and the growth of the church. It's not damaging. It's not to be critical. It's not to say, okay, this is one that's better than the other. This is not competition. This is not competition. That's why I so much appreciate this church, because when I've seen over the last several weeks these different men stand up here and preach the gospel, I'm thinking, man, this is wonderful. It's not like I'm coming in here saying, well, I'm going to have to step up my game and upgrade my level of teaching and all those kind of things. No, I'm loving this. This is great. This is part of building up the body of Christ. This is not a competition. And when you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to verse 8, he gives all these specific gifts of which are given, and the only people, the only person that really doesn't want that to happen is Satan. He wants the people to conflict. He wants there to be dysfunction. He wants there to be disappointment. He wants the frustration. He wants people to compete, so that way they don't build. But the skill and the gift and the manner, I know, pick up on this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to verse 8, it's the manner by which you give. It's the manner by which you rule. It's the manner by which you exhort. It doesn't just say exhort. It doesn't say just teach. It doesn't just say give. He gives a manner of it. The attitude that goes with it is an understanding that you and I will view things differently. We'll handle things differently. Challenges will be definitely difficult. But the understanding of each other is producing compassion and love and truth and unity. Not shaming, not criticism, but understanding what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 4. Looking not each of you to your own things, but things of the other. Why? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 10 talks about this fellowship that we have with God and this fellowship we have with each other. It's building this oneness, understanding, the establishment of the relationship is found on the common ground that we're all different, but we all have the same fellowship. This intimacy of Christ is definitely something we need to work on. But then there's this third component that is found in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is a house builded. And wisdom is plainly A plus B equals C. Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. It's the application of what you know. It's the application of what you understand. And according to James chapter 1, verse 5, he says we need to pray for it. And there's no one or no body of people that needs to pray for wisdom more than the church probably does. You take the knowledge of what God's placed you to be in the family of God that's revealed to you, and you put this understanding with it that we've discussed, and then it helps you make the right choices when there is a conflict. It helps you make the right choices when there's a need that's not being met. It helps you make the right choices when there is someone that does sin in the body. It helps you make the right choices when you see there's someone who has lost all hope. It helps you make the right choices when you see someone who is definitely weak and struggling spiritually. It helps you make the right choices when there needs to be a word of exhortation and joy in the midst of faithlessness. It helps you make the right choices. Knowledge and understanding is wisely executed in those wise moments. Those wise moments. I want you to listen to wisdom. In James chapter 3, James the third chapter, verse 13 to verse 18, he approaches wisdom from two standpoints. And in doing so, he brings to light how it is that some people think the wiser you are, it's because you know more things of the world. But he says this in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, it is wisdom, it is not a wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. It is wisdom. Please understand that. That's what he says. And then he says in verse 16, where there is jealousy and faction, there is every confusion, every vile deed. And you can just about imagine what that's going to look like in the church. The body's not going to be built at all. We're not going anywhere. We're going to destroy it, if anything. And then the wisdom in verse 17 that comes from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy, without doubt. And the fruit of righteousness is only peace within that make peace. And I guess the question right here is, which wisdom do you believe you're practicing the most in your personal life, and which wisdom do you believe the church at Veterans Parkway is collectively doing and practicing as well? What wisdom, which one are we focused on? The one that's causing the church to crumble, the church is about no communication, no connection, no intimacy, no love, no spiritual building? Or is it the one that's built upon the heavenly, spiritual, holy wisdom from above that builds up this kingdom into its oneness? If you want to know this, let me just throw it to you this way. Ask you this question. If you want to know the beauty of how knowledge and understanding is executed wisely and how valuable it will be, take all these visitors that are here, including me, and I would say in one sense I am, but I'm not a visitor anymore, I'm a member here. When you leave here, when they leave here, what will they say? The beauty of this is verse 4 of Proverbs chapter 24. Where he says, the chambers are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. To them, when they were to come in here and they see this knowledge and they see this understanding and they see this wisdom and they're interacting among themselves, and it just seems like they're building up in this body, in this church, you know what's going to happen? They're going to think this is like aromatherapy. It smells good. I see it good. I just understand something in here that I never understood before. And they leave it here, and what do they talk about at lunch? They talk about what they experienced here. What are they going to talk about this afternoon? What are they going to talk about when it comes to Wednesday night? What are they going to talk about when they want to come to services next Sunday? They're going to think about what they experienced. From the standpoint, not just the experience. Now, I don't want to use that loosely. I want to use it from the standpoint of the knowledge and understanding in the building. Building up of the body. And they see this. And hopefully, they'll come back. But it's not that they'll just come back. They'll want to know how this church became to be as it is, and how all of you respond the way you respond. They want to know how it is that they can be a part of the family of God. One of the key ingredients to making all this happen is what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. In the fear of Christ is how you subject yourself to the building in the body so that it will grow into oneness. And when that happens, it's all because you submitted to what it is that God wanted you to be. It's not that you submitted to your mom and dad. They said, you need to be a Christian, you need to be a Christian, you need to be a Christian. It's not because your husband said, you need to be a child of God, you need to be a child of God. It's not because you've heard so many emphases, you need to go to church, you need to go to church. You need to be the one that God asked for you to be. You submit to Him, and then you submit to everybody else. Not because you're afraid of them. Not because they're maybe spiritually more mature than you are. You're submitting to Jesus Christ. You're not in fear of the preacher because he's going to come to you. If you don't do what's right, he's going to talk about you. You're the one that's submitting to Jesus. According to what you find in Scripture, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 16, I thought this is so unique, that God had the ability to bring two different groups of people, Jews and Gentiles, and bring them together in one through the cross, Jesus the Christ. That same thing could happen for you. How to be a part of the body of Christ. The body that can be, that's already, Jesus said, I will build, becomes about through your submission to what he says for you to be. Repentance and baptism. To be placed in the body of Christ, to be placed, as it says in the book of Galatians 3:27, in Christ, and then to be the one who is accountable to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and be part of the building and plugged in as the next stone. Would you want to do that? We'll be glad to help you do that. Do what's right while together we sing this song.